You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, feminist-inspired radio brought to you by CKUT and the 2110 Center for Gender Advocacy. The Dragon Root has two genders and symbolizes the diversity of every body and every mind on the gender spectrum. Tune in every Tuesday morning from 8:39 on 90.3 FM or ckut.ca/listen. You can also pick up and choose from our archives at center2110.org. We bring you reports from the Blueprint Radio Project on gendered violence, live tunes from feminists, queer, trans, and gender-aware musical guests, and interviews about a wide array of social justice issues examined through a gender-perceptive lens. Today on the show, we're bringing you part two of our series on Roma. Afterwards, we have some content on the Montreal-based Stella to talk about some of their initiatives. But first up, Dragon Root contributor Chloe had the chance to chat with the executive director of the Roma Community Center in Toronto.
When you're talking about holding the government accountable and what kind of protection people can expect in Canada, for me, that starts sort of linking to the government, the current government and the current immigration system that I would say is also very racist and discriminatory against many different migrant communities, but the Roma in particular. And I don't know if you want to speak to that a little bit.
Sure. I've been speaking about it for years, Chloe.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly happy to share some information with your listeners. It's never been anything short of shocking for me to see what our current government has been able to get away with in terms of, really exploiting the negative stereotypes that are attributed to gypsy people. You know, we try to refer to ourselves, self-identify, and reclaim what really our own identity is, the Romani people. You know, Roma, the word Roma itself comes from our language, Romanes, and it means the people. And this is something that we've referred to ourselves, but outsiders have called us gypsies, or Sigan. And even though we refer to ourselves as the Roma, and the media is now, from campaigns that the Roma Community Center has done and raising awareness about, the historical context of the word gypsy and Sigan, been using the word Roma. But still, people, when they hear the word Roma, they still, in their mind, visualize gypsy. Mm. And it's been incredibly difficult to divorce ourselves from these negative stereotypes, especially around criminality. And so many people, especially people, in positions of influence, their only encounter that they've ever had with gypsies in their life has most likely been on, a vacation to a big European city and seeing some of the people from one of our communities begging on the street for money, people often, they like to look down at people that are less fortunate and say, oh, they've chosen this lifestyle for themselves. Like someone woke up and said, I wish to be a beggar. Mm-hmm. So the government was very successful really, Minister Jason Kenney was successful at labeling Roma as bogus refugees, because of, this false belief that everybody is equally safe in democratic European societies. And spending 10 minutes on the internet, you'd find a plethora of information from Amnesty International, the Council of Europe itself, with widespread documentation about human rights abuse and the persecution of Roma in many European countries. So, widespread documentation about human rights abuse. But, it was easy to call Roma bogus refugees, especially because people acknowledge, you might as well say instead of Roma are bogus refugees, gypsies are bogus refugees. We'd be a little bit more honest if, in the way he's fanning his gypsy fiction, if we just actually, use the word gypsy rather than Roma. So, you know, the bogus gypsy refugees coming to Canada to take advantage of Canada's generous welfare system and health care benefits. I mean, this is what we've been hearing. I guess the other part of that is, you know, gypsies being smuggled into Canada and coached to apply for refugee status so that they could stay here and collect welfare benefits. So, I mean, all of the information that's really been put out there has been so negative. It's been untrue. There has been incidents of people, you know, committing criminality, but not in any ratio that is any different than any other community in Canada. It's just, you know, when you happen to be a Roma or Gypsy background, it somehow becomes reflective of the entire community. And this is what racism is. This is what racial stereotyping is, mm-hmm. you know. And it's unfortunate because so many of the, you know, the most well-educated Roma I've met in my entire life has come here in this group of refugees from Hungary and from the Czech Republic, like famous journalists and writers and photographers and politicians and engineers. And there's not a large number of us that have been able to reach that level of education or you know, occupational status. And those people have come here. Meanwhile, the government keeps on telling the Canadian public that Roma are bogus refugees coming to take advantage of the system, rather than addressing any severe human rights problem that is widely acknowledged already in Europe. You know, and the fact that, you know, Hungary is probably the worst country in Europe to even try to call a democracy at this point, when it's bordering on being a completely fascist, authoritarian state with a political party. Its third largest political party is called the Jobbik Party, and it really translates to the Movement for a Better Hungary, which has an openly operating paramilitary wing. And the entire Jobbik Party and its paramilitary wing has patterned itself off of Hitler's Nazi Party. So this is also widely acknowledged, you know. Meanwhile, the Canadian government is continually trying to make friends and, you know, really collaborate on the information that's being shared, you know, whether it's to ethnic Hungarians in Hungary or to the Canadian public here. He's been on the TV stations in Hungary reassuring the Hungarian public that Canada is aware that you cannot come to Canada as a refugee because you face occasional discrimination in your country of origin. And, I mean, he's gone as far to distribute pamphlets in cities where a large number of Roma are coming from. And in that same large city, Miskolc, Hungary, which is the fourth largest city in Hungary, you know, this is where he put up his whole billboard campaign now that he's been successful at passing Bill C-31, which has now become Protecting Canada's Immigration and Refugee System Act. I mean, even the language itself, the naming of this new law is reflective of, you know, this fanning of these gypsy stereotypes over the past 4 years. When Roma started coming from the Czech Republic in 2008, there was an 80% acceptance rate at the Immigration and Refugee Board. When this discourse about bogus refugees began from the government, that acceptance rate dropped to zero, and we have academic data to back this up. And it stayed at zero for 4 months before it climbed up to be anywhere between 8 and 28% since then. But there's been evidence of political interference in the supposed independent decision-making process at the Immigration Refugee Board. So, again, institutionalized racism and discrimination and prejudice has impacted us from the government to the decision-makers of the Immigration Refugee Board to the media, you know, and really with this new refugee law, you know, now all refugee claimants from so-called safe countries no longer are deserving of basic health care. Mm-hmm. And now the new system that's been created is like a two-tier system where people have such severely shortened timelines for submitting a refugee claim that there's no way that they'll be able to submit something that's strongly supported and substantiated that will ever be approved. And when they are denied, there's not even any access for any kind of appeal process for them. And in addition to that, there's going to be there's now a 12-month bar from even applying for a humanitarian and compassionate grounds application, or even a pre-removal risk assessment, which would be, you know, in this current system, before the refugee law changed, I mean, there's almost 3 to 4 year wait before people have their refugee hearing and a response. And so, you know, a lot of things change in those 4 years. So pre-removal risk assessments are really critical. And so all of these are no longer available to people from the Roma community and others that come from countries that are on this list of safe countries. So, I mean, the impact has been tremendous of just feeling this huge leviathan of like prejudice and racism just crushing the community. I mean, as often as we get out there to do public presentations and meet and answer questions from the Canadian public and really try to change the perception that many hold of Roma are gypsy people in Canada and trying to raise awareness about the truth of the human rights problem in Europe. As soon as the government comes out and makes accusations about bogus refugees taking advantage of, you know, Canada's kindness, you know, it's it just leaves a sour, unwelcoming taste in people's mouths. And it's been really reflective now in the acceptance rates, in refugee claims, because this time last year there was, I think, almost 800 refugee claims, and now I believe that there's less than 100 coming from at least the Hungarian Roma community. So, you know, people are still living in really unsafe conditions, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see how bad things have to get before Hungary is removed from the safe country list. And I wonder if one day, maybe years from now, the Canadian government might have to apologize to the Canadian Roma community for how Roma refugees and really all Roma across Canada have been treated. Mm-hmm.
And as you said, I mean, I think it's really important to highlight the political interference, because I think that there's people have this idea that there's some kind of impartiality or objectiveness in the decisions that are being made and in the Immigration and Refugee Board, and those are appointments, and I think they are highly, my understanding, are highly political appointments. And there's no criteria, like people don't have to be lawyers or anything like this to get to be on the board, and so these decisions are being made essentially, it could be a wide array of people, and usually people who have gotten there by some kind of patronage to the party in power. And so I think that the fact that this is who's, like, people's lives are in the hands of patrons of the right now, you know, be it the Conservative Party or any party, is highly problematic. And I think that people really need to understand how biased, I guess, that system is. And I think that you're highlighting that in the way that when in those drastic changes in the numbers of acceptance, and then when this really racist rhetoric comes out, how that begins to change and changes so fast.
You're 100% right. People should know that. I mean, I don't see how there's any fairness in our system when you have an immigration refugee board that the adjudicators are appointed directly from the minister's office. So, you know, whatever the sentiments of the minister are, I mean, them going against that is, in fact, jeopardizing their job. Mm-hmm. So, it's just too close of a connection for anyone to claim that, you know, it's completely independent decision-making process. You know, and it's interesting that you also point out that these are not even people with a legal background. I think less than 10% of the appointees are lawyers or anyone that have any legal experience. So, I mean, that's highly problematic. I mean, they should have some sort of basis or foundation of, you know, human rights law, mm-hmm. at the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. So, or international law, or, you know, something that will be directly related to the job that they're doing. I mean, what other job can you get, you know, in Canada where your job experience has absolutely nothing to do with the position that you're being hired for? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really problematic, because often I've seen refugee claims. So I've seen refugee claims. I mean, you have to see how degrading some of the rejection letters are. I mean, they're just written with this incredibly negative condescending tone. Like, the person that had applied was, you know, a criminal, for example, you know, or a liar. And that's reflective in the tone that the rejection letters are written in, because they're attacking the credibility of the individual. They're not even letters that are like, we're really sorry to inform you that you're just, you know, your claim has been rejected. You know, these letters are attacking letters. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to even read them. I mean, to see some of the mistakes that are being made. I've seen, like, children being accepted, but their parents not being accepted as refugees. I've seen the mother get accepted and not the children, and the father as refugees. I mean, the stuff that's happening is insane. If Canadians would know this, they would just, I would like to hope that they'd be outraged mm-hmm. to see what's going on at the Immigration Refugee Board. Now, that being said, there are some people there that are doing a fair job, I think, because there's been approximately 400 Hungarian Roma families accepted in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. There's been, you know, approximately the same amount of Czech Roma families before the visa was reinstated for the Czech Republic. There's been a number of Romanian Roma, Croatian Roma, and Polish Roma families accepted. I mean, this information doesn't make it to the mainstream news, mm-hmm. but there is a very blossoming Roma community in Canada, because many families have been accepted, you know. So the rates are low in comparison to the number of people asking for asylum, but they're still significant enough that we have to hold on to those numbers. Mm-hmm. And to realize that there are being people recognized as bona fide legitimate refugees mm-hmm. From the Roma community. So as long as even one family gets recognized, I think that speaks loud enough to the and is a testament that there is a problem in these countries. Mm-hmm. And the fact that as many have been accepted as there has been screams to the fact that there is certainly an endemic human rights problem, abuse of the Roma community in these countries. So our biggest problem here definitely has been this institutionalized racism that has really fueled the flames in the media. So there's been a lot of media racism resulting from the institutionalized racism.
Stella works with female, anybody who identifies as a woman while working. So that would be cis women, that would also be trans women, that would be transvestites, or men who don't necessarily identify as any of them, but to work, they dress up, they cross-dress. That's it. We've been around for about 15, 16 years. We are an organization that is by and for. Stella was started by sex workers. To work on the team, you have to have experience in the industry. That is one of our most important things that you write on a CV. People get really excited when they apply to sex work to Stella, especially if they've been doing sex work for years and years and years, because they're like, oh my God, I get to write what? So it's pretty fun. Not every single member of our team, like, we have hired non-sex workers in the past, but generally we try and keep to that, because we find that it's hard to understand what sex work is about unless you have been a sex worker. Our organization, for the most part, we do outreach. And so we go onto the terrain. I'm gonna also talk in franglais tonight too, because for some reason I can't speak English, even though it's my maternal language. So we go out onto the terrain and do outreach. We are street workers, or like street-based outreach workers, or liaison agents. So what that means is about 80 to 85% of our energy goes to working with street-based sex workers. We do also work with escorts, masseuses, webcam porn, dancers. We work with independent people who are working independently. We work with people who are doing work through agencies. We do have a locale where people can come and chill out, have a cup of coffee. We have our resources there. We have all of our information. So it's an array of people that we work with. Sex work, sex workers are extremely diverse because it is a work, so that means there's a bunch of different people coming through. There's so many different reasons why someone wants to do sex work, and so we see, there's also a lot of sex workers, so we see tons of different kinds of people, which is really, really interesting. We do focus on our most marginalized population, which is street-based sex work. I'm gonna get into that as I go, in terms of why and what's up. So just, I'm gonna explain the services first. We cover two major territories in terms of our street work. So street work means I have a huge backpack. It's filled with prevention material. I have a book on me that's filled with resources, and I have a cell phone. So I'm kind of a working office. My territory that I'm responsible for is downtown. So I start at Square Cabot, where Atwater Metro is, and on a Thursday night every week, I walk from Square Cabot, say, to Saint-Hubert. We go up around the hotels Saint-Hubert, and then we also finish at like Saint-Laurent-Saint-Cat. So what I do is I go and I target areas where I know street-based sex workers are working. We also have a team that works in Hochelaga, so we do the exact same thing, but in Hochelaga. And then, yes, we will go to the massage parlors and the escort agents, say hi. We have all of our prevention materials. We have all of our publications, which I will explain. So it's to break isolation. It's to see if anybody needs anything. If someone does need something, then they let me know, and I try and help them obtain their goal. We work with a harm reduction philosophy. So what harm reduction means, essentially, is that I work with what the person presents to me. It is not for me to determine what someone needs. It is for someone to determine what they need. If they can't figure out what they need, then we sit and we figure it out together. But I don't tell them. I don't give directives necessarily, but I wait for them to tell me what's up, and then I find resources. So if someone's like, I need a shelter, I find them a shelter. If someone is working at an agency but wants to work independently, I'm like, okay, so here are the ways that you can do that. Here are the things that you should think about in terms of your security, in terms of your health, etc. If someone wants to exit the industry, then we can also help them kind of figure that out. If someone's been working in the industry for 20 years, she has nothing on her resume, then we can sit down together and I can be like, well, you managed a business, you took calls, you put up ads, you did your own budgets. You know what I mean? So you ran a business, so that's very pertinent. So let's make you a resume. What would you like? Let's talk about education if that's what you want, et cetera, et cetera. That's it. We cover the entire island of Montreal. So if someone calls us from Montreal North and is like, I need to talk to you, then we will displace, we will go to them as well. So we're mobile, which is very important. We have, as I said, a locale, but we also have a listening line. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, people can call us, and they, like, if they can't leave. Sometimes at a massage parlor, you're there for 12 hours. So they can't leave, but they have a question. So they can call us, and we can talk to them about whatever. Our resources are there. We're in front of a computer. And we can just listen to them. Sometimes people just need to talk. Sex workers are generally extremely isolated. There's people that exist in their careers and they can't tell a single person in their life. They lead double lives and it weighs on them. It becomes really, really intense when your family has no idea what you're doing, when you can't tell your partner, you're scared of being outed and what will happen, losing your children. So sometimes we just listen to people and support them emotionally in terms of what they're going through. We do also have a clinic with Medicine Demand. We have a clinic twice a month, so it's a clinic specifically for sex workers. We prioritize people who don't have papers. Women who are sans papier, or people who, let's say, are living in the street and they don't, they're not like as necessarily organized and they don't have their cards. We work with a lot of people who are coming from the north, from Inuit communities, and there is like a transfer of ID, etc., so they might not have their medical card either. So we prioritize people who sans papier. We feel it's extremely important that they have access to medical care. And sex workers work with our bodies, and so we are very preoccupied preoccupied with scary sex. We have to be informed to be able to work, to be able to make a living. And so we need to offer that service. Médecins du Monde is an amazing organization. They're non-judgmental. We used to do our street shifts with Médecins du Monde beside us. We used to go out with the nurses. Now what we do is we work with CSSS Metro, and we work with CSSS Hochelaga. So we actually do... I'm going to close the door because... Okay, thank you. That's just distracting.
You're listening to Dragon Root Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM's Tuesday Morning After. You just heard the second part of our series on Roma, and also a segment on the initiatives that Stella does. We've come to the end of today's edition of Dragon Root Radio, but be sure to tune in next week for more gender-based issues.
This brings us to the end of the Tuesday Morning After. Thank you to everyone featured on the show this morning. My name is Elena. For more information on anything you heard today or to get involved in the show, please contact CKUT's Spoken Word Department at 514-448-4041, extension 2593, or write to culture at ckut.ca. And now stay tuned for Bassa Bassa up next. We'll be right back.